KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
At 8 o'clock, we have clear skies here in Atlantic, 30 degrees. We look forward to be mostly sunny today with a high around 50. Good morning. I'm Rick Hanson with KJAN News, brought to you by ASI, Audiology and Hearing Instruments in Atlantic. In state news, three of Iowa's largest hospital and clinic systems have signed contracts to provide care to patients who will be enrolled in new Medicaid managed care programs. Governor Terry Branstad's office announced on Thursday that the University of Iowa Hospitals and Clinics, Unity Point Health, and Genesis Health System have signed the contracts. Democratic lawmakers have expressed concern that Branstad's plan to turn over administration of the $4 billion Medicaid program to private for-profit companies is moving too quickly. The new system is to take effect January 1st. Genesis spokesman Craig Cooper said his system has the same concerns, but that it signed up with two of the four managed care contracts so as to not leave patients in the lurch. Veterans from Western Iowa who are being treated at the VA Medical Center in Omaha are being offered the chance to spread some holiday cheer, even if they can't afford to buy presents. VA spokesman Will Ackerman said that volunteers from the American Legion Auxiliary have opened a special type of gift shop in the hospital that's just for patients.
Veterans who are either inpatients at the Omaha VA Medical Center or who are going through dialysis treatment or at a recovery center, they are allowed to select a certain number of free gifts for their loved ones.
The auxiliary volunteers take considerable time to buy and wrap the gifts using donations, he says, all in order to help the veterans share the spirit of the season with others.
They also have a mobile cart with a good selection of gifts to the patients that are in their rooms and who can't get down to the gift shop on our third floor, so that they can also select a gift or two.
And there's no charge to the veterans for the gifts. The Atlantic City Council, following a closed session for collective bargaining purposes this past Wednesday evening, approved an agreement with the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees, or AFSCME, Council 61. The union represents the city's police officers and the confidential secretary, or a total of six members. The current agreement was set to expire on July the 1st of 2016. City Administrator John Lund said negotiations began with the union October 26th, with two additional meetings held in November, during which the union presented its proposal and the city offered its counterproposal.
Then in the third meeting, we just kind of really buckled down all the parties and got it taken care of.
And he says that in the end, there were some significant changes to insurance.
We eliminated our lowest deductible and doubled our highest. And we also now have singles paying into the system, whereas before they were free.
Lund said everyone seemed to acknowledge that the so-called platinum policies or free ride insurance policies are not sustainable.
Both of the single and family policies are going to be changing over the years, but next year for singles, the city will be paying 95%, and families, that we will be paying 87%.
The agreement also calls for wage increases to move away from the cost of living or COLA percentages to a cent-based system. For instance, effective July the 1st, all patrolmen will receive a 69-cent per hour wage increase, while the secretary dispatcher will receive a 56-cent per hour increase. The same amount of increases will take place in 2017 and 2018. The union, according to Lund, also proposed employees pass physical fitness tests. That was previously not something the state required, but he said it makes sense in terms of officer and public safety.
From an officer's standpoint, if you have a partner or another officer on duty and they can't physically assist you, I mean, that's detrimental to your safety and to the public's. And arrangement has been to incentivize passage of the physical fitness tests. We offer a cash equivalent or a free membership to the Y. The current one we have is based on running, and there's an alternative lower impact for walking, but at a longer sustained rate. The chief has run it and said that, in his opinion, it's just as rigorous as the running test.
Overall, Lund said that he was pleased with the negotiation process.
AFSCME has a pretty aggressive reputation, but I felt that they came to the table with an open mind, and everyone was, I think, very open, honest, direct. There was no games done by either party.
And he says he has a lot of respect for both parties and the process by which the agreement was reached. Elsewhere in the news, officials of the Atlantic Area Chamber of Commerce Thursday announced that Ted Robinson was named the 2015 Scrooge for the City of Atlantic. Ted will serve as the Grand Marshal of the Lighted Christmas Parade on Saturday evening. Robinson earned his title by collecting the largest amount of donations for the Atlantic Area Chamber of Commerce's 15th annual Scrooge contest. All contributions are donated to the Atlantic Food Pantry. The 2015 candidates included Allie Buckner, Cass County Health System, Rich and Nedra Perry with Guys Perry Jewelry, Ted Robinson with First Whitney Bank, and Tony Schmidtke of Fairway. Collectively, the Scrooges earned 10,607 points. 1 point is received for every dollar donated and 1 point for every two cans. Eleanor Hoover has been coordinating the events since 2002, just 1 year after the inaugural Lighted Christmas Parade. Hoover said that she's proud of the Scrooge candidates and the community for supporting the Atlantic Food Pantry, and the Atlantic Chamber would like to thank everyone who donated. Ted Robinson, winner of the 2015 Scrooge title, along with all the candidates, will be recognized at the holiday concert this Sunday, December 6th at 3 p.m. Recognizing all the candidates, the Chamber says, is something new in 2015. Past Scrooge titles, by the way, have been awarded to Devin Ferguson, Eleanor Hoover, Rex McDermott, Tanya Groff, and Rick Harlan, also Marianne Moorman, Dana Halder, Tammy Weiss, and Janet Huey, also Richie Anderson, Janet Kappel, Melanie Perry, David Miller, and Mark McNeese, along with Carla Iles. $1 million state program that seeks to place interns in Iowa businesses so they can get experience in the science, technology, engineering, and math, or STEM fields, got off the ground this fall. And Mark Joyce is a lobbyist for the Technology Association of Iowa.
We have 216 interns across 26 Iowa companies. We know there's appetite for more.
The Technology Association of Iowa is asking the governor and legislators to set aside another $1 million for the program next year. This year's funding was released in September.
And the $1 million was fully subscribed 5 weeks later.
The STEM internship program is won by the Iowa Department of Economic Authority. The businesses that participate get $1 from the state for every dollar they pay the student intern, up to a maximum of $5,000. State officials say the program's goal is to get college students the internship experience they need to secure permanent employment once they graduate. And the director of the Iowa Department of Corrections says his agency is spending tens of thousands of dollars a month on an old prison that no longer houses inmates. Jerry Bartruff is hoping sections of the former Iowa State Pen in Fort Madison can be put to use by the community, but until then, the upkeep will cost the state money. When the facility was full of prisoners earlier this year, the bill for its basic maintenance was around $60,000 a month.
I think it's down to about half of that now, but we're still utilizing some of that space to get stuff out of and some other kind of things. So we're also cleaning up some of the areas that we think that may be useful. There's no staff assigned there, but we do constantly make rounds to make sure that pipes aren't bursting or that kind of thing.
In August, more than 500 inmates were moved out of the 176-year-old prison and into a new state penitentiary about 2 miles away. Bartruff addressed the future of the old facility this week during a budget hearing at the State House.
There are some parts of that facility that could be used and have multiple purposes, I think, from an economical perspective, an historical kind of perspective. But there's other things inside that building that need to go away and aren't safe.
Bartruff said he met with the mayor of Fort Madison to discuss the matter on Monday. A nonprofit group has also been formed that's interested in turning parts of the old prison into a tourist attraction. The old Iowa State Penitentiary was originally built in 1839. Bartruff said sections of the building will need to be demolished. The news was brought to you by ASI Audiology and Hearing Instruments at 601 Poplar and Atlantic. Call 243-5796. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.